Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maz coming to you from our TD Garden Studios, our Star Market broadcast studios on the second floor of the ever-evolving Boston Garden. You should get down here, see what they've done to the place. Open it up a little bit here.
I kind of like it.
Okay. I'm not going to spend too much time describing it to you, but there's some changes down here. Looks pretty good.
Getting fancy.
Looks pretty good.
I'm a big fan of the outdoor escalator. I'll leave it at that.
So if you're heading down here for the Bruins, come on by and say hi to Maz and Murray. They love mixing with the people, saying hi, taking selfies, whatnot. We'll be here until 6 o'clock talking a whole bunch of stuff. We got a Red Sox hour coming up for you later on in the show. We want to hit on some Danny Ainge comments from this morning on Touch and Rich later on in the show. We'll have Patriots, of course, and that's actually where we'll start. And I just want to ask these guys again. I asked them this morning, but I'll ask you now just to update me because it's now 2:02 in the afternoon, Murray. Has anything new been posted to ButlerBenchingInContext.com?
No, I don't know who the latest media member to be paid off is to now convince themselves and try to convince the rest of us that benching Butler in the Super Bowl was the right thing to do, because you see he's been playing so poorly in Tennessee this year. So Bill was right. We know we have Bedard. We know we have Chris Gasper with his new column of the Globe.
Right, Bedard got a box of donuts.
Yep.
And Gasper got a gifty to Saks.
Yeah, Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
A scarf. Cashmere. A Bedard get hosed, if you ask me, but that's another story for another day.
Clothes aren't important to Greg. Gasper, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe they got, I don't know, though. I did listen to the Midday Show. Maybe they got to Zoe and Beadle, because I did hear after one phone call, well, I don't know how this whole thing came up again. I blame Felger and Murray, saying that they know the story and they don't want to go with it. Robble, robble, robble. Like, they know the story, too.
And I don't,
are you fooling?
I don't claim to know. I mean, I don't know if what I know is right. I don't know that.
Me either.
Yeah.
If you did, you'd go with it.
It really doesn't matter. As Maz has pointed out a million times, whatever it was not enough to take him out of uniform. So if in uniform, and you're losing, and the personnel you have on the field isn't working, and you have this guy at your disposal, and you don't use him? And that's
inexcusable.
What does it matter what he did? Whether we know or not, or whether what we know, if it's right or not, we don't know. But that, I mean, talk about coaching malpractice, malfeasance. To waste a game day roster spot on someone you're not going to use. Think of that.
Sure.
I mean, just take out the player, the situation. You only have 46 of those, 45 of those. It's the biggest game of the year, and you're going to waste one on a player that you're not going to put on the field?
Right. Under any circumstances, apparently, unless someone had a game-ending injury.
Okay, but nothing new has been posted to ButlerBenchingInContext.com.
No, but it does still link to Patriots.com.
It's so great. It's so great. ButlerBenchingInContext.com. Even on Chris's, the main crux of his column, I think. I mean, he did go back to the game and say it justified the move in the game, or it might have justified the move in the game. But, you know, the bigger thing is Bill winning on the contract. How do we feel about that? Because that's starting to go up my tailpipe a little bit too now.
Okay, the whole thing is driving me bananas. And first of all, I don't know how I can say this without sounding condescending or sanctimonious. So I'm just going to say it anyway. I'm disappointed in Gasper. Of all people, I expect it from Bob and Easton. I don't expect it from Gasper.
I'm disappointed in you.
Like, seriously, Chris. Tisk, tisk. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I'm not angry.
Christopher.
I'm just disappointed.
Oh, I'm so disappointed in you, Christopher.
A Louis Vuitton belt goes a long way with that one.
Oh, it really does, doesn't it? Yeah, what's he get his Bruno Maglia shoes on, too? Like, the whole thing. I look at it and say, are you serious? We're going to connect Butler's play now to that Super Bowl decision? So, like, totally, there's no connection there whatsoever. None.
How about just the win on the contract?
So, look, I will give the Patriots a win on the contract. I will, because it's money that you can use on other players. But I said this yesterday, even if you go back to, do you remember the initial Jeff Howe reports that said they offered Butler like $7 million a year?
We've got even updated reports.
Okay, but do you remember? But
sure.
I'm going back to a lower number.
Sure.
I'm doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
If you go back to the $7 million a year, even if they wanted the player. The point is, they made an offer where they wanted the player. They deemed Butler to be good enough to invest $7 million a year in. Now, as we find out, the number might actually be more. I even think that is largely irrelevant. They wanted the player. They wanted him. They bid on him. And so the fact that he's now sucking somewhere else, as I said yesterday, they got lucky. They got lucky that he didn't accept it.
So there's two pieces to this that are starting to go up my tailpipe. The game thing is not even worth debating, okay? But Belichick winning on the player, there's two facets of it that are just people are ignoring. And Jimmy Stewart, you can please release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Phone lines are now open for you. We're going to start with Patriots. So if you want to weigh in on anything NFL Patriots related, by all means, fire it off. 617-779-0985. Two things about this that are just, okay. One is the thing you said. The Pats wanted them. Field Yates tweeted recently. Here is some context. Again, Malcolm Butler benching in context. Post this to the site. Some context on Malcolm Butler's five-year, $61 million deal with the Titans. The Patriots' final offer before last season was for 6 years, $66 million, with $25.5 million guaranteed. That would have kicked in, and that was on top of the one-year, $3.9 million tender he was already going to play under. But as Field Yates says, same neighborhood. So forget seven a year. They're willing to offer him 11 a year with 25 and a half guaranteed. Now, he got more from the Titans, but not much more. His AAV in Tennessee is $12 million a year, and he got $30 million guaranteed. So he got more. He was smart to pass on that offer. He ended up doing better. So he won, and his agent won. That's another thing. You know, all the Patriot, the media cartel, telling you how dumb his agent was. They won. They were smart. They got more money. Okay. So again, fans, next time you hear a local beat guy rip on an agent, he's doing the team's bidding. And that happened with the Butler thing. Agent won, team lost. But either way, Patriots wanted him, Maz.
Absolutely.
And credit to Tommy Kern. He wrote today on NBC Sports Boston, or yesterday, Butler saved the Patriots from themselves. He says Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio won't be smug about not making the same mistake the Titans did, because the Patriots tried to make the exact same mistake. Curran writes, even if benching Butler in the Super Bowl remains a bastardization of the do what's best for the team mantra, Butler put himself in position to be benched. And all of it traces back to the contract the Patriots offered him as, one pretty similar to the one he got from Tennessee that Butler turned his nose up to. So when the Patriots see Mike Vrabel struggle to explain why Butler is directly responsible for 7 touchdowns this season, they probably won't be congratulating themselves, but thinking instead, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yes, exactly. They got lucky. They got lucky that he turned it down. And obviously what Curran is also saying there is that this was the source of the friction between Belichick and Butler, and that on some level that is what precipitated the decision in the Super Bowl.
I don't think there's any question about it. Even if the little thing that, you know, we've heard that we think might be right but don't know if it's right, this catty little thing that came up in the last week, even if that's true, if Bill had a better relationship with the player, maybe he forgives it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But there was no basis of goodwill there between the sides by the time they got to Super Bowl week. So whatever Butler did Super Bowl week,
it was the last straw.
Bill overreacted to, right, because they were at odds to begin with. It started with the contract.
Right. Screw you. You know, you're not going to take our offer. Now, you know, it just snowballed from there. I think the contract is at the base of it. And so, you know, I was interested to learn this morning that there was an offer in the range of $11 million a year. I thought it all stemmed from a $7 million offer, which Butler thumbed his nose at. Clearly, though, the Patriots went up.
Well, yeah, big time.
Right. So they increased their offer significantly to get to $11 million a year. And then Butler still turned him down, which really pissed them off.
Right.
Like, it was bad enough for him to thumb his nose at him the first time at $7 million, but now we come to 11? And again, I'm giving you the average AAV versus the guaranteed money. But
and you know, thank you for mentioning that. You know, the Patriots contract had all sorts of deferments and all this crap they put into their contracts. I guarantee you that there were more strings attached with the Patriots contract than the Titans contract. But either way.
Right, so the $25.5 million was probably over 3 years, which is $8.5 million per.
And I bet there was defers and all this stuff.
But they went up, and he still said no. And again, Bill takes that crap personally, because he's going to look at a guy like Butler and say, you were an undrafted free agent out of West Alabama or whatever it was. I don't even remember. I think that's right. Out of a school that nobody has ever heard of. I had the confidence to put you on the field in the Super Bowl and make you who you are, and now you're telling me no? No? Oh, then fine. We made you, Malcolm. We can break you. That's how it feels to me. Now, again, I'm giving you a dramatic encapsulation of that. But I think that that is the essence of the problem.
Okay, so that's one piece to the Bill Belichick got it right again. Like, that's the key piece, is that they want to change their mind at the end, meaning the last year. The other piece is, if Butler were still here, do you think he'd rank 132 out of 144 corners or whatever? You know,
no.
these rankings we see in Pro Football Focus where he is ranked, I think he's ranked 132 or something like this. If he were still here and struggling, let's say he were playing the exact same way, do you think there's any shot in hell Bill would have exposed him to the point where he would be the worst starting corner in the league?
No. And so this one drives me crazy, too, that the Patriots will pick up a Josh Gordon and it's, yeah, Belichick will coach him up. They'll get something out of him. So the coaching matters. But then when a player leaves and he sucks, see, he sucked. Oh, wait, so that would have happened if Bill were coaching him too, you're saying? So Bill's coaching doesn't matter. Like, which one is it? And I believe in Belichick's coaching. I believe in it. You'll never hear me say when they pick up a guy, oh, Belichick will get nothing out of him. None of us say that because we know how good a coach he is.
I didn't think he'd get much out of Gordon. But
okay,
either way, go ahead.
But he's got as good, better chance than anybody.
Yes, you bet.
Right? With any player we know, with Bill, it's always worth a shot. If you're not giving anything up, it's worth a shot. And we all preach that, the value and benefit of Bill's coaching. Then a guy leaves and goes to another market and it's, yeah, see, he sucked. Why do we assume that the player stays the same with a bad coach?
There's no way. I mean, just folks. You got Gilmore over Butler. Okay, yeah. If Gilmore, Stephon Gilmore were still in Buffalo, would anyone ever talk about Stephon Gilmore
as a good
corner in the league?
No.
He'd be buried there. He'd be another first-round pick, you know, big price talent in Buffalo who sucks and doesn't make a difference. If he was still in Buffalo, he wouldn't be on the radar. But he comes here in this environment with this coaching and this program, and the next thing you know, he gets coached up, and now he's considered elite.
Correct.
Because of the situation. If Malcolm Butler were still here, there is no way he is giving up 7 touchdowns on the year they would scheme it, protect him, give him help, coach him up, whatever. He wouldn't be the same bag of poo that he is in Tennessee.
Yeah, no shot. I mean, just no shot. And if people were to say, well, what about Butler in his final season here? I would tell you extenuating circumstances.
Well, but he wasn't this bad. He was just...
Correct.
He just struggled. He had his ups and downs, but he wasn't 132 or something.
No, he wasn't. He's a train wreck right now. I mean, really, he's been probably the worst corner in the league, although who was it?
Marcus Peters.
Yeah, Marcus Peters is another one.
But either way.
But the point being is that I also think that part of the reason he had a bad year is because the relationship had deteriorated, and then he felt like they didn't believe in him anymore.
Well, maybe...
He was bitchy about the Gilmore signing,
you know,
too.
Like, you know what? Yeah, this is his fault. Yeah. You know, if this stuff crawls inside his head, then that's his problem. I'm not going to give him a break on that. This is a big boy football. This is the NFL. You know, they're going to sign guys. They're going to cut guys.
It's a ruthless business.
You're going to be on the trade block. You got to be able to block all that crap out. So if he was impacted by the Gilmore signing, that's on him. Toughen up. And if he's impacted now, people have said, well, the whole thing's been a spiral because then he gets benched in the Super Bowl. Now he signs his contract in Tennessee, and it's all sort of crawled inside his head. That's his problem. No break there. There's a third thing, quickly, is that if you asked us about Stephon Gilmore at this time last year, we'd say, what a waste.
Exactly.
It's early. It's early. The Patriots had to change their whole system last year to accommodate Stephon Gilmore, and this goes back to the Butler thing. It's like they would have done the same thing for Butler. If a prime player who was making that kind of money was struggling that bad, they'd adjust their system to help that guy, just like they did for Stephon Gilmore last year. And maybe Vrabel and Tennessee will figure it out eventually, but they would have figured it out here.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that I think Butler's play last year was aberrational. That's all. And maybe not, because if he's this, you know, we'll see in the long term. But under Belichick, that was the exception rather than the rule.
Starting football.
That's all.
Starting football. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Malcolm has struggled a little. Malcolm Butler is allowing a great volume of catches. One service, scouting service, that's most in by a quarterback in the NFL.
That means a lot to me.
Okay, but is he doing anything different this year?
I mean, it looked like a league in defense. Okay, so that's our challenge as an offense is we're playing 11 guys, we're playing their coaching staff and the schemes they put up against us. And right now they're playing better defense than anybody in the league. So we'll see how we do. I don't know. It'll be tough, I know that.
It's Belichick yesterday. Someone threw out the Pro Football Focus ranking. That means a lot to me. There's no way. If Butler were still here, would he be this exposed and this bad?
No, of course not.
Way. This is why the Patriots are the Patriots. And this is a compliment. If it feels like I'm bragging on someone, I'm not. This is why the Patriots are the Patriots, is that they hide weaknesses and accentuate strengths and get the most out of their players. Better than any team I've ever seen in sports. So, you know, the Butler analysis or the Stephon Gilmore analysis, it's not in a vacuum. It's all relative to where they are. If Stephon Gilmore were still in Buffalo, you think he'd be this good? No shot. No shot.
I mean, to me, like, that argument always blew me away when a guy leaves, they say, well, see, he sucks. So, like, let's use Deion Branch. Like, that to me is the easiest one because that was the first big one,
yeah, right?
Okay, Deion Branch goes to Seattle. He's not the same player. So here with Belichick and Brady, he wouldn't have been good?
Seemed to be pretty good here.
I mean, so this is my point. It's like it works in your operation because you have your quarterback and your coach. That's the whole point. There's a value there for you, too. Like, but people throw that. As soon as the guy, all they look at the numbers. They don't look at the reality of what he would have done here. Like, that blows me away.
Calls as promised. John in Cambridge. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about chronology of the offer they made to Butler. When was that made?
So I'm a little confused on that, too, but it was obviously before Stephon Gilmore. So it sounded like before the 16 season or sometime in the 16 season, but that's a little unclear to me, too.
Okay, and then when they had a deal in the works to trade him to the Saints, was that before or after they were trying to negotiate a contract extension with him?
So
you do
recall, I think after.
They had a deal in the works for a first-round pick, right?
Right, yes, that's right. And so I think at that point they had already signed Stephon. Didn't they sign Stephon Gilmore like the first 10 minutes of free agency?
Yeah, it was fast, yeah.
So at some
that
point,
was
John,
when they got that was around when they had the Brandon Cooks deal. It was like right after the
exactly.
Brandon Cooks deal, right?
Yeah, so what's your point?
I have a theory. Maybe they were trying to lock him into a contract before they traded him.
Okay, so not right before. I think they had been trying for a couple of years to sign him. And he had rebuffed their efforts. And by the time they got to the end of 2016, call it, they had said, well, screw this guy. He's not taking our offers. He thinks he's worth more than he is worth. And, oh, by the way, his play is falling. So screw you. First 10 seconds of free agency, we're going to sign this guy, and you're gone. And that's what happened.
Absolutely. I mean, look, again, I don't think there's any question. There was a breakdown there where they got fed up with Butler. And they said, that's it. And then the thing just rapidly snowballed and deteriorated. His play wasn't as good. They got to the Super Bowl and Bill stuck it to him on top of it.
So, I mean, I say you're out of here. No, they kept him for another year. I mean, that's even a mistake. If you didn't believe in the player.
Should have traded him.
Why don't you get, you could have gotten something for him.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe not everything that you wanted. You were trying to get that first round pick out of New Orleans, okay? So you didn't get it. But you ended up losing him for nothing. And he didn't even play in the one game that mattered.
Right. And if his play deteriorated, this is, again, I was sort of, this struck me about the whole Butler situation earlier in the week. Well, wait a minute. You kept him and he didn't play well. So what happened to that whole get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late thing? They whiffed on that one too.
Chris and Raynham, what do you got for us on Patriots-Titans?
You guys are really talking yourself into circles to try to bash the Patriots this week. Between the Cordell Patterson, the Sony Michael, the Kyle Van Noy, now the Malcolm Butler thing, you guys are in a tailspin trying to come up with reasons that the Patriots made the wrong decisions. Do you guys
see, I wouldn't call it a tailspin. I would call it like on a roll. I would call it the strength of Felger and Maz to give you compelling content every single day.
Chris, they botched the Butler thing. Okay, they botched it.
No, I just think he's got the tailspin thing misrepresented.
I think we've just hit our
stride.
Let me talk. Big Jim, you're going to the game this Sunday, right?
Yeah, I fly out tomorrow.
And do you consider yourself a Patriots fan?
I'm spending my own money to go on this trip, so that's kind of obvious, yes.
I have never met a Patriots fan that has this much.
Do you consider yourself one? Because you can't even say the name of the running back correctly.
Is that all you got?
Hello? Hi?
Is that all you got?
Hello?
You are
yeah,
not a
yeah.
fan.
Sony,
you
Michelle, say it. Well, well, well.
Answer
you
my
never
question.
Can tell. Well, well, well. Do you want to finish? Because you can get it right there. Bye, Michelle.
What do we call him? Cordell Patterson, the player, because you have so much disgust for him, you
he
can't even
stinks.
Say his name.
He stinks. It's not going to keep working. It only worked when he followed the fullback, stupid.
It
only worked when he followed the fullback. And when the Packers decided, hey, you know what? They're going to keep handing off to this guy, they stopped him. They stopped him. When he stopped following the fullback, they stopped him because he's not a good running back. He's not a real running back. He's a gimmick player. It's not going to continue to work.
I don't want to discourage this because this is obviously solid, but there's a delay down the line.
Yeah.
So if we try and talk to these people today, you're going to want to put a freaking rifle to your head.
Yeah, today especially.
Oh, my God. Chris, just go. I'm not going to interact with you. I'll give you 30 more seconds. Just go.
You're bashing Cordell Patterson because you were wrong about him. You're bashing the Malcolm Butler move because you guys were wrong about them getting rid of him. You guys were wrong, so you're turning it around. Big Jim, you are not a Patriots fan. You despise this team. And you used to be a Patriots fan. Now you are a big fraud. You're a parrot to Felger and Maz, and that is all you are.
Okay,
fair enough, Chris. You see me in the streets of downtown Tennessee, where I'm again spending my own money out of pocket to go see this team for the 14th straight road game in a row. That's how many years I've done this out of pocket. You can put a scarlet letter on me. Bad fan. Boo. Oh, you're not as good a fan as me. The guy who can't even say the name of the running back correctly. screw.
You know who loves Felger and Maz?
Who?
It's Chris and Rainham.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
He's a big-time customer.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm okay with Chris and Rainham.
He's a big listener. He's a P1. He calls all the time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's something about the content he appreciates.
How are we wrong about the Butler thing?
Oh, God, please.
The coach was wrong on the Butler thing.
Listen, in terms of letting Butler go at the end, fine. But don't tell me it was like some stroke of genius because they tried to sign him. So, like, you know, it worked out for them in the end. And benching him in the Super Bowl, I'm sorry, is inexcusable. There is no good explanation for that. None. Whether they were keeping him or not, he was as good an option as anyone else, and they were getting smoked, and he never even put him on the field. Never. Not once. No excuse for that one. None.
Okay. I'm glad he brought up Cordell Patterson, because I do have a developing opinion. And with an assist and a thanks to some of our listeners as well on the running back situation in general. We will discuss it right after his update, so don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just got to get back to doing what I do, you know, playing football, you know. I know I used to play there, and, you know, I just got to pick up my performance. I don't care who I play. I just want to pick up my performance. That's all, and, yeah.
What are your feelings about your time there and just how things went?
It went great. It went great. Didn't end well. It went great. You know, those people showed me number love, and, you know, I love them back. You know, I appreciate Mr. Kraft, Bill Belichick, all those guys, you know. I already had this conversation before, so, no bad blood.
No bad blood. I told you, not a nary a ill word between those two. For at least as long as that NDA lasts. Maybe that's in perpetuity. Thank you.
To today, Junior.
You porky pig.
I don't even know why I tried it. So, Butler's going to say nice things about the Patriots. Patriots are going to say nice things about Butler because the Titans gave Butler what, Jimmy?
Hush money.
It's hush money. Butler got his hush money. Just wasn't from here, but it was from a subsidiary of the Patriots. And so everyone was made whole, and we're not going to talk about it.
Offshore account.
There's Malcolm Butler. Emails of the day. I got two emails for you, running back related. My buddy Jake Scott, longtime listener, emailer to the Mike Felger email account. He says, I can't understand why, Felger, the Cordell Patterson story isn't a victory lap for you, and your running backs are a dime a dozen mantra.
He makes a good point. I read this too.
He says, oh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's simply driven by the fact that in your world, a negative take is more valuable than a positive take. In other words, it's more valuable as fodder to you to drop Traw on Cordero like a German scat video. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'll explain during the commercial break.
Okay.
Let me Google that.
In other words, yeah. it's more valuable as fodder for you to drop Traw on Cordero like a German scat video than it is for you to give yourself a Barry Horowitz pat on the back for being right when you said a running back can come from anywhere. Brah! See? You have a washed-up return man who is a totally passable back, and there you go. Bleh. Like, how come I'm not doing that? So, Jake Skies, you're doing that because you just want to be negative.
Yeah, he's right.
I think it's a fair point.
Yeah, it is. He's totally right.
It's put me in a tough spot. No, but it's not totally right. It's not totally right.
It's pretty right.
It's totally. It's not totally right. It's partially right.
You've had a Patterson bias before he even got here, though.
I never liked the guy. I still don't like the guy. So, like, I'm not going to pump, you know, Cordell Patterson's tires for being fast and doing what Maz has said, which is just hand him the ball, and he follows the fullback into these huge wide openings.
Yeah, no, run straight ahead.
He's still not doing anything, okay? But it does prove my point about running backs. But the reason I'm not going, bleh, is because I'm not you. I don't resort to that. That's you.
You're on a higher plane.
That's what you do, okay? When I win, I just let it roll. I just let it happen. And when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. But when I win, I don't rub your nose in it. I won. I was right. I don't need to do the thing that you people do, which is, how do you like him? I could do that on the running back thing. I just don't because I don't need to. So that's why it's partially right. And I'd rather rip on Cordell Patterson than praise him because I've never liked Cordell Patterson. The only thing I liked about Cordell Patterson is I thought the Pats should not have traded out of that draft pick. And I was wrong about that.
Yeah, I'm not that big a man. Suck on it.
So, fair point, Jake. Yes, I'd rather be critical of Cordero than praise him. But the reason I'm not doing a victory lap on the running back thing is because I don't need to. Okay? When you're right, you're just right. You don't need to do it.
This next email is even better.
This is great. This is from John.
You know, I almost emailed this to you this morning to make sure you read it.
This is awesome. John, Lieutenant, Second Lieutenant, United States Army. So, thank you for your service, John, and thank you for the email. John, I won't use the last name. But John writes in. And he sent me a link from Pro Football Focus that says, this is from Pro Football Focus using their WAR stat, WAR, wins above replacement. And then in parentheses, he says, I know you guys hate WAR, as I do, but I think in this case it suits your agenda, so I know you'll use pretty much anything in that case.
He's right.
Which he's so right. The advanced analytics and the stats can go to hell unless they serve my agenda, then I'm going to use them.
Then we're in.
So, good job, Lieutenant. Perfect. Exactly right.
Lieutenant Dan.
Okay, John. Lieutenant John.
Whatever.
His headline, so the Pro Football Focus story, the headline reads, if running back is going to win the NFL's MVP award, it shouldn't be Todd Gurley. And then they say something else at the other, but I'll leave that off for right now. Pro Football Focus, using their analytics and their WAR stats, says if it's going to be a running back, it shouldn't be Todd Gurley. But using running backs at all is stupid. They say if the term valuable is attached to this award, there is no universe where a position other than quarterback should ever win the award in today's NFL. Okay? He says, despite this truth, Pro Football Focus says, despite this truth, there has been a backlash, possibly in response to an increase in the prevalence of analytics that has LA Rams running back Todd Gurley firmly in the conversation for NFL MVP. His numbers have been great. 1,500 rushing yards. He's on pace for 1,500 rushing yards, another 644 through the air, and over 28 touchdowns. So tremendous numbers. However, writes Pro Football Focus, as we've discussed many times and other research has shown, running back rushing statistics are mostly a product of the offenses in which the back plays.
True.
Oh, you don't say. You don't say, Pro Football Focus. Really? That the overwhelming majority of yards that these running backs pick up are there for anyone to pick up? Is that what you're saying? Oh, I could have told you that without your WAR stats or without your analytics, because I have eyes and I watch the game. They say Gurley, though, is a prime example of this, as he failed to crack 900 rushing yards while he was behind the 29th best run-blocking offensive line in 2016, but he's putting together this gem of a season with the league's top-graded unit in 2018. Turns out the LA Rams have the best run-blocking offensive line in football. Oh, wouldn't you know Gurley's gaining all these yards? Huh, isn't that interesting? You mean the yards were there to be gained? Ha, really? You could have fooled me. Anyway, They say that the league MVP so far is your favorite between Mahomes or Drew Brees. Take your pick. Using our WAR metric, the most valuable non-quarterbacks through 9 weeks have been Adam Thielen, DeAndre Hopkins, Aaron Donald, and Michael Thomas. Three receivers and Donald, a defensive lineman who gets to the quarterback. They say, which shows you, you either need to be on the supporting side of a quarterback's productivity or be an outlier situation in terms of stopping it to even warrant a mention in this conversation.
Right, passing game players.
Passing game players.
Yeah, in today's NFL, this all makes sense. But to the way that they're writing this makes it sound like every single running back is the same, which if you use your eyes, which you always say to do, Mike, like that, you can't compare every single running back in the NFL and say, oh, nope, Gurley is the same as Cordarrelle Patterson or Alvin Kamara is the same as Mike Gillisley. That's just patently false.
I think that...
Agreed.
I think the production, though, is roughly the same between those guys to the point where...
Well, but also he's saying production in the running game.
Yes, in the running game. I would not... So the difference between Alvin Kamara and Kenyon Barner, right? Kamara's obviously better. But if you gave Barner all those situations, he'd gain, what, 80% of the yards? I think at least three-quarters of the yards he'd gain, okay? So for the extra 25%, you're drafting someone in the top five or you're paying him tens of millions of dollars? That's freaking stupid. Stupid. So, but they say, so be that as it may, there's a secondary question to ask. Is Todd Gurley even the most valuable running back in the NFL? Or are there other players that have a claim to this spot? And they say, quote, for us, the most valuable running back in the NFL to this point.
Listen up.
Kareem Hunt.
Listen up.
Is James White of the Patriots. Oh. With his WAR ringing at 30. So he's the 30th ranked most valuable player in the NFL, according to them. And he's the number one running back. See, these guys get it.
Right. And what is James White? He's a passing game player.
They write, James White is our kind of running back. His Pro Football Reference page lists his receiving stats before his rushing stats. He was drafted in the fourth round out of Wisconsin, where he was overshadowed by running players like Monty Ball and Melvin Gordon. However, it's in his role as a receiver that he has shined on a New England offense that has spent many weeks without players like Gronkowski and Edelman and Gordon, Brady hasn't really been himself either. Grading out is only the seventh best quarterback in the league. So Pro Football Focus has Brady down this year, too. Despite all this, the Patriots are 7-2 and averaging 30 points a game, and it's because of James White. James White. James White is the most valuable running back in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus.
To me, this is the it puts a premium on the passing game, which is why every time we talk about a running back, I say to you, can he catch it? Like, it's the first thing I want to know now about a running back and use him out of the backfield. So I was happy to see this. When I saw this email, I told you, before you even sent it, I was going to send it to you. But then I said, he'll read it. I knew.
So that does serve an agenda, but that, you know, it's like, are you still on this running back thing, Murray?
Yeah. No, I still think that they matter in today's game. I do.
So, and this is not to belittle you. It's going to sound belittling. The people who value the running back, I've spent so much time on this topic, and these people like Murray are so wrong that I've been able to psychoanalyze them.
Jones is with me too.
Adam Jones is another one. I was just going to say Adam Jones. So the running back people fall into three categories.
Fantasy players.
One.
Not me.
No question about it, fantasy players. Absolutely has warped people's, knowledge of the game.
Old.
No.
Oh.
So one is fantasy players. Two is casual fans, because they don't know. It's like, oh, wee, look at him run.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, wee, he must be really good. He's running with the ball. Wee.
Also not me and Jones.
But not
I know
you
where,
and Jones.
I know where you're going to get us, though.
And the third thing is college football fans.
There it is.
Because they follow that sport. Running backs are more important at that level, always have been. And they want to sort of justify their existence or be able to say, like Jones and Murray, yeah, I watched that guy at Georgia. I really like him. And so they want to be able to carry that fandom through to the NFL level because they have no other outlet for it because no one gives two poops about college football. I'm sorry. Unless you're in Podunk. But anywhere else that matters, it means nothing to nobody. So they're sort of fighting for the college football fight and their own sort of personal investment in it. They want to be able to say, yeah, no, I watched SEC this year. I watched the Big 12 this year, and I like that guy out of Oklahoma. He's got this because they invested all that time to watch it, and then they want to get to the draft and say, this guy's valuable because he can do X, Y, and Z. I saw him do this against Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the NFL, and they want to pretend that player matters because it's mattered to them.
But
that's why.
Okay. They're partially true, but also the NFL has now mirrored how the college offenses have gone for the last handful of years.
They're wrong to value running backs.
Well, so then why have linebackers gotten smaller? Why have all the defensive backs gotten smaller? There's been more of an emphasis on trying to get the back backs involved in the passing game like the college game has done over the last 5 or 6 years. It's more about the passing game. I will give you that.
Offenses,
but
yes,
the running backs do matter in the passing game, like James White, like Kareem Hunt, like Alvin Kamara, and like Todd Gurley.
I question whether running backs are as important in the college game anymore. I think that's changed.
Oh, it's totally changed.
Like
Even that has changed.
And the other thing is, I'm sorry, I'm adding a fourth category, and that's anyone who grew up in the 70s and watched the Steelers. And
fair enough. Yeah. Like those, no, that's true.
Yeah, those people who
No.
And maybe that falls under the category of casual fan.
But the old guy, too, yes, because it used to matter. I'll give you a fifth, the offensive lineman. Ask an ex-offensive lineman to talk about the running game and the run, because they want to matter. They want to matter. They like to run block, and so they want to give themselves some importance, so they'll pump up the running back because that pumps up the running game, and that helps the offensive lineman. Offensive linemen hate the fact that when they just pass block, when they have to step back and absorb contact and just protect a quarterback, they want to go out there and knock some heads, ear hole a guy, they want to run the ball. So they'll pump up the running back too. But they're all wrong. You're wrong. Everybody's wrong about the running back thing. Everybody's wrong. But I don't need to say that. I don't need to take that.
Because you're on a higher level.
I don't need to take that victory lap, Murray.
You're on a higher plane.
I don't need to do that. I'm not like the rest of you people. I don't need to do that. All right, so there you go. There's that sermon. Right back to your reaction in our long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Gordon sprints in motion. Brady with a fake to him. Pitches it left for James White to the 10, to the 5. Untouched to the end zone.
Is going berserk right now. What a play call by Josh McDaniels, not only on a touchdown, but to come out with that type of emphasis without the big tight end, without your tailback, and you just go right down the field, unstoppable.
That's the open drive against Green Bay. What do you mean without your tailback? You had your starting and most valuable tailback. You had James White. Sony Michel, don't you realize? Superfluous. Could be Sony Michel, could be Cordell Patterson, could be anyone. James White's a difference maker. According to Pro Football Focus, the most valuable running back in the NFL. I would agree with that. A couple quick calls here before we hit the top of the hour, and we switch to some Red Sox thoughts coming up as well. Zach in the car. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with Maz about something you said earlier. He said he's got a problem with trashing players after they leave town. Well, Maz, if they suck, they suck. You got to call it as you see it. I mean, look at any trash bags that come through New England in the last 5-10 years. Go ahead, Maz.
Yeah, so, Zach, that's not what I said. What I said was when you let a good player go and he's not as good somewhere else, why doesn't anybody factor in the Belichick coaching them? Because anytime they pick up an Albert Haynesworth or someone like that, you say, well, Belichick will get something out of him because he's a good coach. Yet when a player like Deion Branch leaves and goes to a place and isn't as successful, why do we care? It worked in your environment. Why does how he performs somewhere else matter?
Well, because if anyone's going to get anything out of him, Belichick will. I mean, if Belichick can get Brandon LaFell to be productive and Jonas Gray, I mean, he's got a better chance than anybody. No, you got to give credit to Belichick where it's due. But at the same time, if he sucks, he sucks. But Belichick...
Well, but I am. We are. That's my whole point with Butler, is that he wouldn't be this bad if he were still here. He wouldn't be ranked 132. He wouldn't have given up 7 touchdowns. He wouldn't be out there getting exposed on a weekly basis because the Patriots would account for it. Because I've seen it happen a million times. I saw it happen last year with a player that everyone is now giving credit for Belichick for discovering in Stephon Gilmore. If you asked us about Stephon Gilmore at this point last year, if I asked you, you'd say, what the hell is this all about? How much money is this guy worth? The guy can't play zone. He's all over the place. He's running the wrong way half the time. He's leaving half the field open. Guy doesn't know what he's doing. And what did Belichick do? He went to more man. He helped the player out. He schemed it so Stephon Gilmore's strengths were accentuated and his weaknesses were diminished. And that's what Belichick does. And it's what he would have done with Malcolm Butler. He would not have been as bad if he were still here. That's not to say that they should have kept him. They were absolutely right not to give him that money. I'm not making that case. I'm just saying the gap between Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler is not as big as it appears. Belichick's in the middle of that. He's responsible.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's responsible for that gap.
I'm just saying that when they let a guy go, you have to take Belichick into account, too. If a guy worked here with Bill, what does it matter if he's not as good somewhere else? It worked here. There's a value in that.
Cam and Taunton, go.
Chris and Raynham, I cringe at the fact I live one town over from you. My God, you are the most pathetic person alive. Maybe not a lie that strong, but whatever. Guys, I thought of this last night, and I asked Jones this question. What is Malcolm Butler's Patriots legacy? Like, in 10 years, you're sitting in a bar talking to some friends. What are you going to remember first, the pick against Seattle or being benched against Philadelphia? What is his legacy?
What do you think?
I think it's the pick, but I think the benching is right there.
I mean, it's really close. It's a good question.
I think it's the pick.
So do I.
He became a name because of the pick. They win that Super Bowl ultimately because of that interception. The other thing's just an annoyance that we're never going to have a real answer for.
No, to me, the second thing is more about Belichick than it is about Butler.
That's right.
So I look at it and I say, yeah, he made this great play in the Super Bowl, and 3 years later, Bill benched him in the game. Like, I think that becomes more about Bill. To me, Butler's playing the Super Bowl is what I'll remember him for.
Tony in Charlestown. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, I think the problem is this. Number one, you guys hit it on before, the whole fantasy football thing. And they get this younger crop of fans out there that all they know is championships. And they look at it and they say, you can't throw – you know, you can't ruin my porcelain team, because if you make one bad comment about them, they're going to fall apart. I can't stand it. I can't deal with that. It's an absolute travesty. I like the negativity. Keep it up. It's awesome. And like you say all the time, it's fact, not opinion.
Tony, thank you. Good call, obviously. Great call. Tony in Charleston. The Sensi Patriot fan, it's been around for a long time, man. I mean, 20 years since these guys showed up.
No, that's right. I mean, but I agree generally that the winning has ruined many Boston sports fans.
Some.
Not all, because I like to think there's still a healthy level of cynicism and skepticism there as it pertains to the home teams, and that you will look at them with a critical eye. And when I say cynicism and skepticism, I just mean that you look at them critically. That's all. Look at them critically. And if you don't have any capacity to do that, well, then, you know, what's the point? Don't. I mean, you're not. I shouldn't say
no.
Because I'm happy.
No. There's no point. But there's no point to do a talk show. And I'll tell you that. Unless you look at things critically and, you know, be a critic, it's really awful hard to do a talk show. It just is. So we can have these calls all day long. You don't need to go anywhere. But we are going to get to some Red Sox stuff next hour, including the free agent forecast for some of their players and those across the league. Scott Boras is right about a couple of things, if you can believe that.
No.
Yep. He makes some excellent points on a couple of items that we're going to get to, and we'll take your phones on that as well. So we'll pick that all up right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.